Ho, 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 Guilty Movie Pleasure fans. I'm hoping that this year I've been on the nice list, because if not and I end up on the naughty list, Santa isn't coming for me. Oh no. Guess who is? Krampus!
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Guilty Movie Pleasure.
Oh, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, that might have been the worst pronunciation of Krampus or Krampus in the history.
Krampus!
I think I just vomited on the microphone when I said Krampus!
That is on brand for the show, having live on-camera vomit.
That's very on brand. Mm-hmm. It was definitely two syllables, one vowel.
Yeah.
Krampus! Anyways, hey, welcome back. We're back! We've been off for 2 weeks. We took a little hiatus there. Sorry to be gone so long, all 12 of you that are really excited for us to be back. For those of you just tuning in, I'm Ben Begley, the host of the show, and with me as always...
Hi, I'm Jesse McIntosh.
Yeah!
I feel like I'm... Were you counting me in one of the 12? Because I'm excited for us to be back.
Yeah, all right,
so 11 viewers and one co-host.
Well, actually, no. It's a baker's dozen. So
got it.
Is that 13?
13.
Yep, okay. Mm-hmm. So you're the 13th.
Yep.
All right.
It depends on the baker, I guess.
We're getting the holiday season kicked off, in my opinion, in a very good way. Just to set the record straight from the beginning, I don't think Krampus is guilty. It's actually one of my favorite new Christmas movies. It's one of my favorite Christmas horror films out there. And the reason we covered it is because we love Trick or Treat. Michael Dougherty is a fantastic director, and I think personally the reason I picked it is because I want more people to know about it. I feel like it gets a lot of hate because horror fans want it to be scarier, and Christmas fans, like people who like the more schmaltzy holiday
Christmas
movies.
Fans?
Yeah. We're going to bring Christmas. We're going to say Merry Christmas again, believe me. I said I wouldn't do it.
Big
damn
fan.
It. Anyways, so people who like kind of the more like Hallmarky stuff, like my mom, mm-hmm. would never watch this. So it falls in this weird gray area. But I feel like it's a throwback to the 80s scary Christmas movies like Gremlins and things like that. It feels like this generation's Gremlins. Now, don't get me wrong. Gremlins is an incredible movie. It's one of the best. But I think this is really close to that for me in fun factor. And I like that they use practical effects. I saw it in theaters. I missed it for Christmas the year it came out because I was waiting for my wife to see it. And she just dragged her feet. And I saw it at the Bargain Theater on January 3rd. But it was still within the window of, like, Christmas time.
People were still out of school.
Yeah,
so it counts.
It counts.
Yeah.
And I loved it. And I've watched it every year since. So I'm interested, Jesse, though, to know what your thoughts are on it. Because had you ever seen it before?
I had not ever seen it. No. In fact, I, for some reason, when you suggested it, thought Jim Carrey was in it. What movie was he in that was kind of like
The Grinch?
This? That could have been it.
How the Grinch Stole Christmas?
That could have been it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I just had an image of Jim Carrey.
Could you imagine it?
I was like searching for the right Krampus, and I was like, Jim Carrey's in this movie.
Can you imagine if at the very end there was like the reveal that Jim Carrey was Krampus, and he's like, wow, kids, listen.
I would have given
you're in trouble.
A standing ovation.
Okay.
At home
I hope you
by
watched.
Myself.
You watched the one with Adam Scott, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because holy shit, there are other Krampus movies that are not
been
this.
Great. I should have just said no, just to see what would have happened. But
then
no, that's the one.
The rest of the show, we're talking about two different Krampus movies and trying to get them to match up.
Yeah, I really felt like the car chase was probably the best part.
The car chase.
Of Krampus. Oh shit!
So what do you think?
This movie is fucking weird. This is a weird movie.
Yeah, it's super weird.
It's super weird. And it was an experience.
Yeah.
I don't know if I liked it, really.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
I'm like, I haven't fully made up my mind. Because it was, there were parts that I enjoyed, and I, like, understood the campiness of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the mythology of Krampus.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Fell apart a little bit for me in that, like,
really?
We didn't get it until much later.
Okay.
Like, there were just... So there were dumb movie moments to me that I, like, got caught up on. Like, and we can... We'll revisit this in a little bit. But, like, when the boy who never says anything gets pulled up the chimney, and then, like, the very next moment, the grandma starts speaking English and gives us the mythology, and we sit through, like, a five-minute story about her childhood and Krampus.
Yeah.
And, like, no one is like, shut the fuck up. My kid just got sucked up a chimney. I have to go find my kid. Everyone is just like, interesting story.
That's a good point.
So, like, there were just a couple of those moments where I was like, what is going on?
Or similarly, when he hears his, when Adam Scott hears his daughter out there, and then David Koechner's character gets eaten, his leg gets bit by the snow tremor monster.
Yeah.
And then they're like, fuck it, we gotta go back home. But they justify it to a degree where he's like, we gotta go back out. We had to come back and make sure you guys were okay. But at the same time, he heard her screaming nearby.
Yeah.
So he should have maybe pursued further.
Yeah.
Well, or just don't have her screaming.
Right. Because, like, then everything that happens after that falls apart. Because they, like, come back and they barricade themselves in the house. And they never, like, much later in the movie, they develop a plan to go out.
Yeah.
But they're like, pretty content just, like, hunkered down in the house.
Yeah, it is. That is something where the daughter disappearing, it's like people, they just kind of go, all right, I guess she's screwed after a while.
Yeah, the whole, like, every time someone is missing or dies, like, there's a moment of, oh, no. And then after that, it's forgotten forever.
I feel like the problem, though, is if they had gotten so bogged down in it, it would have lost some of its campy, darkly comedic feel.
Yes. So,
could you imagine if every time they, like, just every other scene was, they took Howie Jr., they took him, Dorothy. Yeah. We didn't really care that they took Aunt Dorothy.
No, we didn't. What if the last hour was just like a group hug of everyone being like, fuck, our life is terrible. How did this happen to us? Where are our neighbors? I just wanted someone to, like, ask the question.
You know, there is an Easter egg in there. I was listening to the commentary for part of it, specifically for the ending, which I don't want, just for you and I forgot to mention, I don't want to talk about the ending until we get to it.
Cool.
Just so people that are listening, I don't want to ruin the ending. So you can listen to the podcast, and I will warn you before it's spoiler time. So if you want to hear more about it to get interested, and then I will tell you when it's spoiler time, and that means shut it off. So you can watch Krampus and not ruin the ending.
And I should just retroactively say spoiler on the car chase thing. Sorry.
Spoiler on the car chase.
I apologize for that.
So, would you have sought out this movie? Are there any kind of Christmas movies you do seek out at all? Because
if it is a backdrop.
Because I was raised Episcopalian, but I don't really practice anymore, but I still like Christmas movies.
Right.
But the audience may not know that you're Jewish.
I'm Jewish.
You're Jewish.
I'm a big old Jew.
I was trying to figure out how to, like, approach this without making it seem like a big deal. Like, hey,
just so everyone knows, thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers.
No. I was...
Former listener 702 is like, yeah, I knew it.
I suspected as much.
Well, then, but there's a little backstory behind
this,
though.
No wonder he hates Nazis.
Holy shit. That got me by surprise. And the ash in my throat from the forest.
Oh,
fires.
Yeah. We should also say we've risked our lives to be here today.
Yeah, it's dangerous out there. But, so there is a little joke. Jesse and I have done sketch comedy together before. Mm-hmm. We've been friends for over a decade. We don't talk religion or any of that stuff, really. I had no clue, and it doesn't matter either way. But it was funny. We were doing a holiday show for our sketch troupe back in the day called Dingus Khan. And Jesse comes to the table with this sketch called Jesse is Jewish. And we all started reading it, and the whole joke was that we didn't know Jesse was Jewish, and we were trying to, like, I forget, it was like, what was the hook on it? It was that we were like, no, but you like Christmas stuff, right?
Yeah.
And you just kept being like, that's not, no, we don't do that. And we didn't, it was like the whole premise was his friends didn't understand why he wasn't into Christmas. And I remember when I first read it, it blew my, I was like, oh, fuck, that's a huge thing I should know about you.
Well, so, yeah, I was raised Jewish. I celebrated both sets of holidays because my parents are split, and my mother is Jewish, and I celebrated the Jewish holidays with my mother, and my dad and stepmom celebrated all the Christian holidays, so I got both things going on.
That's the best of both worlds.
Yeah, but I'm, like... So the holiday time is about family, and it's less about the holidays.
Yep.
I don't have a special affinity for, like...
That's why you got so hung up on when they were forgetting the family. You were like, I don't care if this is Hanukkah or Christmas.
That's exactly right.
Your fucking kid just got sucked up a chimney.
No one even recognizes Kwanzaa anymore, but what the fuck?
Come on.
It's Kwanzaa time.
It's Kwanzaa time.
Kwanzaa time is my new web series. Check it out. KwanzaaTime.com. I don't seek out movies about the holidays, but movies with holiday backdrops are fun, and it's Like a so nice context to put it in.
You'd rather watch a Shane Black 80s action movie like a Lethal Weapon or a Die Hard with Christmas as the backdrop, or even Gremlins with Christmas as the backdrop, than it being like the Family Stone.
Yeah, we actually... Which,
holy shit. By the way, Renee, my wife, last year was like, let's watch the Family Stone. It's like a fun family Christmas comedy.
It's about stones.
It's fucking depressing as shit. Diane Keaton is dying of cancer in it. And by the end, and the whole thing is this dysfunctional family realizing this at this big gathering, and then they cut to the end. I don't even need to ruin it for people, but it ruins itself.
The car chase.
We were like done with it, like sobbing our eyes out. Like we had like a 3 week old baby at the time. We're like, we're never gonna leave you. It was so depressing. Don't watch the Family Stone.
So I don't like those kinds of holiday movies. It's interesting you say.
But like
that,
Christmas Vacation. Have you seen National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation?
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. I think we should do that on this show. That's my favorite. That's possible. Of all time.
But we, so for Thanksgiving, when we were cooking and setting everything up for dinner, my wife brought out all the DVDs that we have that are Christmas adjacent. So like,
I love it.
We put Hook on, like go, see Wendy for like the Christmas holidays and like they get taken to Neverland over Christmas. And then I forget, there were like seven just sitting on our mantel place.
There's a whole bunch that take place. I mean, Iron Man 3 takes, but that's because Shane Black wrote it. Mm-hmm. And anytime Shane Black writes something, it's Christmas, like Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. I don't remember if The Nice Guys was over Christmas or not, but
I just
that's fun. That's the cool stuff is like the Christmas adjacent movies. Yeah. I love that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Anyways, let's talk about this one, Krampus. So you weren't a huge fan of it, and it seems like because... Just the leaps in logic of emotions bugged you.
Yeah, it was. So,
what do you think of the practical effects? Though,
I love the practical effects. Were cool. It's the like army of minions was a little bit random and like
the elves.
Yeah, some of them were cool, and some of them I was like, "What are we doing here? Like, what is that?"
Yeah.
This is sort of nitpicking, but just like a consistency with the so we knew what we were fighting a little bit versus just like everything imaginable.
I looked at it.
There's a little killer clowns of them.
The way I got it was the way I looked at it is that Krampus is basically the bizarro dark version of Santa Claus in every aspect. So that's why the cookies are there. That's why the toys are all demonic, and I said they all looked like. The demonic rejects from the Island of Forgotten Toys or whatever from Rudolph. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what it was to me. And then the dark elves and these from Thor. It's the same thing, dark elves.
Yep.
And I got caught up in it and I loved it. I've seen it three times now. I've watched it the last 3 years. And even last night, I was trying to find a fault in it. And yes, I'm like, okay, they kind of forget about the daughter. But in a movie like this, it's so tightly paced. And it's such a survival thing that had they been, maybe they could have had like one scene with Toni Collette and Adam Scott about like, hey, we're going to get out of here and we're going to find her. Just like one, like two lines there so that you remember that Beth or whatever her name is. See, I don't even remember her name.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and maybe that would have helped. Yeah. Like a little heart. But for me, there just aren't enough movies like this around the holidays. And the killer teddy bear and the creepy ass angel doll. We'll get into all that.
Yeah.
But before then... Let's do the plot in under 3 minutes. Are we ready in the booth? Now that we got a backstory of both of our holiday traditions, although... Yeah, all right.
Let's do it.
Let's do this.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go!
So we start off with a very funny montage to It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas, where it's slow motion, people on Black Friday just tearing apart the stores, beating each other up, people getting stomped on. Adam Scott and Toni Collette's son is in a Rudolph costume for a nativity play that's in a mall for some reason.
Yep.
And they're getting in a fight, they come home, they're mad at him, and he's like, I didn't want him to ruin that Santa isn't real for the little kids, when clearly he still believes in Santa. Then the relatives show up with David Koechner, and it's kind of like Christmas Vacation with Cousin Eddie, where they show up and they got the two twin girls that their dad wants them to be boys. They got the mute, chubby kid. They got Aunt Dorothy, who's just a foul-mouthed piece of crap aunt. And they all kind of have this dysfunctional dinner. They steal Max's note to Santa.
And so he gets in a fight with them. He takes the note back. He rips it up because he's like, fuck this, and he throws it out the window. And then the note
very
goes,
80s moment,
it goes up into the wind. And then the next morning, there's been a snowstorm, and there are snowmen. And he's like, who made the snowman? And he goes downstairs, and the daughter's like, my boyfriend isn't texting me back. This is is weird. I'm going to go see him. And they're like, all right, be back soon. And so she goes and she disappears.
Well, no, before actually, when she goes, there's Krampus appears on the rooftops chases after her. Yeah, she hides under the DHL guy's car. He's been frozen to death. The only person they've seen since the snowstorm came in. And there's also just a mysterious giant Santa's sack.
Yep.
Or Krampus sack.
Krampus.
Meaning like a sack of toys, not a ball sack. Anyways, she gets taken by something. We don't know what happened. Oh, no, there's like a Jack in the Box that eats her, we guess.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, we cut back to the family. They're like, we got to get out there. So David Koechner and Adam Scott go out there in his Humvee. They get attacked by snow tremors. He gets bit by one. They smash Lucinda, his Humvee.
Yep.
And they come back. They board up the place.
They wrap his leg up.
They wrap his leg up. Yep.
They're all nurses, I guess. Yep. They figured out. So
I've watched enough movies.
Yeah. Yeah. So then they're sitting, and the grandmother's like, keep the fire hot. And then David Koechner says, I'll keep watching. He falls asleep. And then the thing comes down the chimney. And
the gingerbread cookie.
Yeah, and the little boy's like, great, I will eat that thing. And he eats it, and then it rips him up the chimney, and they all try to hold on, and they can't. And so he goes up there, and the grandma's like, Krampus.
Gives a whole backstory on Krampus and her story and how she lost her Christmas spirit and he took her entire family and left her. It's super fucking sad. Then they go up to the attic. They hear some stuff up there. Because the two twin girls go up there and they get attacked by something, by a giant jack-in-the-box snake thing. And then they get attacked by a bear, a creepy angel, and a killer robot, and the creepy snake thing. And then downstairs, David Koechner's being attacked by CGI gingerbread cookies that get lit on fire, and it's awesome. They defeat all these things. Then they come downstairs. They think they've won. Okay, I'm just going to finish it. You go.
They're like, we're going to go out and get into the snowplow and see if we can figure this all out. So they head on out, and one by one just sort of get picked off.
And then the kid is like, he gets taken by Krampus. There's all these elves that are like throwing these kids into the lava. He goes, I want my family back. He wakes up after being thrown in the lava and everybody's okay, but then they get the ornament and Krampus was real, and then he's in the thing, and now it's way past the 3 minutes.
Spoiler.
Yep. Oh shit, I did say spoiler. I didn't say whoops. Well, hey.
That's okay.
It didn't really make sense what I just said.
No. No one listens to that part anyway.
No one listens to that part anyway. So shit, I said in the beginning of the show I wouldn't spoil it, but I may have just there.
Yep.
It didn't make any sense, though, so ignore that last section of it. son of a bitch. Anyways, whatever. Now I promise we will not spoil anything else. I'll say spoiler before it. 3 minutes, I got ahead of myself and got freaked out.
That's all right.
So here.
I forgive you.
I love the opening of this when it's all in super slow motion. Yeah. And because Black Friday, I buy stuff online, or I'll go, like, I bought a TV this year because it was, like, $400 off, but I don't go and get the doorbuster deals and shit where it's like, you know, a $200 55-inch TV, because all that means is your TV you just bought is a piece of shit.
Right.
Like, it's, like, 3 years old, they can't get rid of it, and they're selling what they have in their warehouse. Like, that's the biggest problem with Black Friday is this giant lie that gets people and families to hurry up and eat their Thanksgiving dinner and then go wait in line at Walmart, and it drives me crazy.
Now, do people know this, that you were the spokesman of Black Friday for years and years
but
and
I
years?
Was the spokesperson of the anti-Black Friday with Buick.
Of Buick?
Because Buick, the whole joke there was is that I came out and I saw my neighbor getting all these shopping bags out of his car, and he has a black eye, and I'm like, whoa, what happened to you? And he goes, I woke up at 5 a.m., must have saved hundreds. And he goes, what about you? And I'm like, oh, I slept in and saved thousands, and then you turn and I got a Buick on Black Friday.
Yeah.
And, you know.
But you still did some shot. You were a consumer on Black Friday.
I wasn't. My character was a consumer. Yeah. My character was a little bit of an elitist.
A little dickish.
A little dickish.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't want to overstep here.
I mean, unless you guys want to air it again next year, then he was completely likable.
Did they air it this year? They aired it for like 20 straight years.
They didn't air it. It was 4 years in a row, but not this year.
Damn. All right, so we can.
They had actually, I think they CGI'd a different car in every, or they cut to a different shot. They just put in another car.
That's movie magic, you guys.
Movie magic.
Believe
Anyways,
it or not.
So there's this awesome opening that, and just the song, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, and then it all slows down, and they're all miserable at the checkout counters.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's kind of what, unfortunately, Christmas has become, or the holidays in general. It's like, I don't know how much time is spent stressing out over what to get people and things like that. And it is, you're right, when you say the holidays are more about family, I agree. I think it becomes more about like checking off everybody you have to buy for and being like, how much did they spend on me last year? I got to spend the exact amount. It's all consumerism. When really, if we just all got together and hung out and made some cutout cookies, I'd be happy.
I love cookies.
That's why like my mother-in-law's like, what do you want for Christmas? I'm like, I buy everything that I do want. I don't know.
Yeah.
Star Wars Battlefront 2?
Ooh. Say cookies.
Any fans out there want to buy it for me?
Yeah. Can Venmo,
one of the 11.
Or you can send it to the studio if you want.
Can you imagine? It'd be so silly. Don't buy me it. I'm a big boy. Anyway, so I love the opening to this movie. I think it sets the tone perfectly. And then it has this cool 80s vibe. And you know, I have movies from my childhood, too, where like this kid that doesn't want to give up believing in Santa. And that was kind of me. I think I was like a holdout till like, I want to say like fourth or fifth grade, which is late.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember when I was, because it's tough when... You have siblings.
Yeah.
I'm younger, the though, right?
I'm the oldest,
yeah, it's tough when you have older siblings.
Because they fuck up everything.
Because they ruin it for you.
Yeah. I ruined the ending to this movie.
Yeah, today. Exactly.
Sorry.
Exactly. Yeah, there's like spoiler coming in 2 years.
Yeah.
Like, fuck. I need to know now. But yeah, I have an older sister, 2 years older. And I have a younger sister who is 6 years younger. And so she believed in Santa for much, much longer than either of us did, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
So I really don't remember. There was at one point a transition. I think I stopped believing when I heard my dad bring an Easter basket down to my room one time.
It was another holiday that
ruined
it.
It was a different holiday. Same with me. And I think it just, like, the dominoes fell.
Tooth Fairy ruined it for me.
Yeah, it did it.
Because that's when I started to... No, that was like the beginning of the unraveling of the mythology of everything I've been lied to. Because I remember I was awake and then I heard someone come in and I shut my eyes and I was like, I'm going to see the Tooth Fairy. This was much younger, like maybe first or second grade. And I was still, no, how old are you?
Yeah, I think so. That sounds right.
Maybe, first or second grade. I'll find out soon enough in the next few years or so with my daughter.
Not if you rip all her teeth out first. Just really get ahead of it.
Just get ahead of it.
Yeah.
Just now.
I'm not interested in putting dollars under your
baby
pillows.
Teeth. You can just eat pouches and mushy.
That's exactly right. Smoothies. So wave of the future.
I felt my pillow go up and I was like, oh shit. And I kind of peeked my eyes and I'm like, wait, that's my dad. And I remember I was like, well, yeah, I mean, Tooth Fairy silly. Like, obviously that's fake. But the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus is totally real.
You were playing it cool to yourself at 6 years old.
I think, like, oh, and then I think the Easter Bunny was the next domino to fall, where it was like, well, clearly there's not a giant fucking Easter Bunny hiding eggs in my house. That's stupid.
Yeah, but obviously there's a fat man.
But obviously there's a fat man who can travel to every house in one night.
For sure.
And magically fit down the chimney without tearing it apart. And that's what I love about Krampus, is that he rips that fucking chimney apart.
Sure
he
does.
Rips it to shreds. Yeah, I was a holdout. So I really appreciated that vibe, and I like that in movies when they have that, because it makes me reconnect to my own kind of nostalgic magic of Christmas. Because I think the holidays are a little bit more magical when you're a kid, because you're not consumed with the consumerism. You're just having fun with your family. You have time off from school, and you get presents, and you believe in Santa. It's awesome. Then you get to be an adult. You got to buy all the shit, wait in line, stress out, pay bills, taxes you got to do by the end of the year.
Yep. It's
being an adult sucks.
Just all the mystery and magic is gone. And you just sit and you cry on your couch alone for, you know, 2 or 3 hours at a time until don't have any more tears, but you still make that like gagging sound. Do you guys do that? Is
anybody
that just
else?
Me?
Anybody else? No? All right. So anyways, now that we've taken half the show. No,
you know what it reminded me of? Is the beginning of Home Alone also. Because
absolutely.
There's like the chaos in the house of like all the kids.
Older
and they're like picking on the
Buzz
little
is the
boy.
Worst.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to barf it out because we ate it all.
Yeah.
You know?
Renee
says that all the time whenever we have pizza and I ask if there's anything left. She's like, we ate it all. I'm going to have to barf it out. Oh, she's hilarious. But seriously,
but then she barfs it out.
Yeah, she does.
That's cool.
You know, at least she
that
follows
is
through.
Love. That's what I'm talking about with family. You guys get it.
You guys get it.
Yeah.
So, there's this kind of Christmas Vacation, Home Alone-ish vibe, with, Howard and his wife and kids that come in. Mm-hmm. I think the family dynamic is really funny. The one thing seeing it the third time, I still think the comedy kind of stays throughout. It loses it a little bit to some of the more dark elements. It starts off really funny, and then it peters off a little, but I think it kind of has to in order to have a little bit of a creepy vibe, I felt, this time seeing it. But it starts off like a straight comedy, just like the other family sucks. Aunt Dorothy's the worst. Speaking of, we have her first line is hilarious. Clip number one.
So where's the nog? I need to get Mary.
It's awesome. She just comes in hot, out the gates, wants alcohol.
That's right.
It's just shown up. We all have relatives like that.
Someone needs to tell her there is no alcohol in Nog. You have to add it.
You have to add it. But I think she adds alcohol
into everything she's drinking.
So where's the Nog? I need to get Mary. That's what I need to just... That needs to be my intro to every holiday party this year.
Yeah.
And by holiday party, I mean like the probably one I'll be invited to.
Your own?
My own.
Yeah.
I'm going to come into my own party and say,
"So where's the nog? I need to get married."
And they're like, you didn't buy it. It's your party. And yeah. I'm like, oh,
fuck.
Yeah, sorry. We don't really.
It wasn't on the list.
Really like eggnog around here.
So rumor has it that back probably,
yeah,
I'd say 2017 years ago.
Yeah.
Ish. a young man named Joseph was at a party you're referring to right now.
Yeah.
And he eyed a beautiful young lady across the way.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, "That one's going to be my wife, but I don't have the courage to go over there and talk to her right now."
He needed some
confidence. Lubrication. So he looked to the bartender and he just said,
"So where's the nog? I need to get married."
Some social lubrication.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Because they didn't have sex.
No. Right.
By the way, this is a shameless self-promotion right here. Jesse wrote a very funny rap that our sketch group performed years ago. It was like 5 or 6 years ago now.
I think so.
The Dirty Christmas Rap. I'll tweet it out. Check it out. It's called "What Child Is This? Because It Ain't Fucking Mine."
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
If you guys have heard of the internet, it's on the internet.
It's on the internet.
Yeah, so check it out.
So I want to play clip number two, which is Toni Collette's reaction to Aunt Dorothy being there.
A holiday growth is a surprise. Hemorrhoids are a surprise. She is a goddamn nightmare. What were you thinking?
I would submit that hemorrhoids are also a goddamn nightmare.
I would say they're a goddamn nightmare. Not always a surprise. There's like a, I would assume there's a buildup.
Sure.
It's not like they just appear.
Yeah.
I don't have an extensive experience with hemorrhoids.
I don't either. But,
I would be surprised, I guess, if they just appeared.
Now, at this point in my life, having never had them, if they showed up, I'd be like, damn, that was fucking surprising.
Yeah, yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
I mean, neither of us know. So, hey, anybody who's had hemorrhoids, tell us, was it a surprise attack? surprise attack hemorrhoids.
Yeah. That's my new web series.
Just the whole, there's all kinds of fun family dynamic, like the Howie Jr. chugging the Mountain Dew at the table, a 2 liter of Mountain Dew, and burping, and the whole reading the Santa letter out loud, I think, really endears the family to me. When it really endears Max as a protagonist, and the whole thing being through his eyes, where he wants his parents to love each other more. He wants even his shitty relatives that are awful to him to be happier and to have a job and to not be struggling so much. And it's a really sweet moment. And that's why, and you can tell his twin cousins even recognize it when they're reading it and being dicks. And then he shreds it, and Krampus comes upon him, and this giant cloud shows up, and then it's just the snowstorm to end all snowstorms. And these awesome, creepy snowmen that keep showing up.
Yeah, that was one thing that I was going to ask you about, if the snowmen were anything, or they were just like random snowmen.
I think it's just a scare. I think it's all like...
It's a scare tactic? Because one showed up, I guess it was before the daughter died. Because I was thinking, because like the second one showed up after the kid got pulled up the chimney, and I was like, are these the kids that are being killed? But yeah, the first one showed up before the daughter.
I think I would have liked to have seen somebody get attacked by a snowman, just because I love the shitty horror film Jack Frost.
Yeah.
I think he fucks a girl with his carrot nose in that, which is a little odd.
With or without lubrication?
I don't think with.
Wit, nope.
Yeah, he Harvey Weinstein's her. Anyways, I don't think Harvey Weinstein ever fucked anybody with a carrot.
With a carrot?
Just so we know.
That's not even alleged.
Just so we don't have to get our legal department on it. Harvey Weinstein did a lot of creepy things, but he never...
Harvey Weinstein, little known fact, big fan of the Guilty Movie Pleasure podcast.
Big fan!
Yeah.
Big fan! I actually have a Harvey Weinstein story real quick. I saw a screening of Fanboys, the Star Wars prequel comedy where they're trying to steal the prequel from the Lucas Ranch. And there were two versions of it, one where the main character had cancer and one where he didn't. And the whole thing is like they're going there to steal it because has cancer and he's dying and they want him to see it before it. And it's really kind of touching, that version. The version I saw at a preview did not have that. And Harvey Weinstein was sitting behind me. And at the very end of the movie, he leans over to whoever's next to him and goes, "See, we didn't need that cancer shit anyway." I'm just like, at that time, I didn't even know that there was a cancer subplot. But I was like, what the fuck is he talking about? Yeah. And then I found out that they had two screenings on consecutive nights, and one where they did that plot line in this one. And then the actual release ended up having it in there.
Oh, so he was on the side of the non-released version.
Yeah, yeah. It was so weird. But I remember being like, what a dick. Who says we don't need that cancer thing anyway?
I mean he's
like,
right. We don't need that cancer shit.
Maybe at the time, I was like, yeah.
Hell yeah.
We don't need
I'm
that.
I'm on board. Who should I donate to?
So anyways, that was a weird story. A little tangent. So there's all this stuff happens where these creepy snowmen, Beth goes missing. So they go out after her, Adam Scott and David Koechner's character, and they're driving along in his giant gas-guzzling Humvee. He's loaded to the teeth. He's just like your good old boy, making cracks at the Democrats for stealing all his money. All this ridiculous kind of what I feel like sometimes when I go to my extended family and things like that, where some of them are very in line with how I feel, and others I'm just like... And I feel like people bait me a little bit, you know? Mm. Where, like, they'll be like... Oh, I heard L.A.'s National Indigenous People Day now instead of Columbus Day. And I'll be like, well, actually. And then they'll be like, we don't need to talk about it. And I'm like, well,
don't bring it
up. Don't say it then.
Don't say it. No, we're going to talk about it. Sit down.
Or they'll be like, yeah, they'll like be playing with Daisy. I won't say who. One of my family members was playing with Daisy and said that. And was like,
is it Renee?
It's totally Renee. Wouldn't that be terrible if Renee and I just have polar opposite political beliefs? Anyways, but I think that that's kind of what family do. They kind of bait each other with these kind of off, these passive-aggressive comments. Uh-huh. And that's what this movie captures really well. But this is one of my favorite clips with David Koechner. Clip number 3.
Global warming my ass. Must be -20 out here.
I don't know how many times I've had to almost try and explain global warming to family members, and then I just give up. Yeah. Not immediate, just like extended people.
Sure.
You know, that will remain nameless, but... It's so frustrating. There's a difference between weather and global warming.
How can there be global warming when it is cold where I am right now? Is my favorite argument.
It's the greatest.
It's the best.
And the earth is also flat, everyone. I didn't know if you know that the earth is flat.
Yeah. It's also on fire currently.
It's super on fire.
Oh, boy.
So I love... there's a lot of these clips are going to be David Koechner. We got to keep moving on because we've been rambling a lot, which is fine. So then when they go out there... these like snow tremors come, and there are these creepy, weird. We don't know what they are. One of them attaches on David Koechner, and I thought he was dead. I thought his I thought he was going full on Michael Ironside in Starship Troopers, where like his legs are ripped off, and he's like, you know what to do, and then he gets shot. Spoiler if you haven't seen Starship Troopers, but that doesn't happen. He just gets bit. Whatever this thing is, it's not super lethal.
Yeah.
So they abandon Beth, go back to the house.
Or it didn't have shoot to kill orders.
Yeah, exactly.
It had bring him in unharmed.
Bring him in so we can drop him into the volcano.
Yeah.
They go back, and this is where, I love how he's getting flung around too, like a rag doll on the things. It also kind of looks like Elizabeth Berkley in her sex scene in Showgirls, where she's just in the pool.
That's an interesting image.
It's just like this. If you've ever seen it, it's the weirdest sex scene in the history. That's an interesting image.
I would say almost similar to Deep Dish Orgy.
There you go.
Where,
I don't know where you came from, but I'm glad you're here. Yeah. The line of the century I will never forget.
Another classic Christmas film.
I'm moving along a little bit because I want to get to the third act stuff. That's real fun.
Yes.
We have another clip. All these, like, most of the clips are David Koechner because he's hilarious in this movie. But there's this tender moment between him and Adam Scott after they've survived this. He's, like, apologizing. You think it's going to be this sweet moment. And then he says, typical family, passive-aggressive, backhanded compliment. Clip number 4.
I just want to say I'm sorry for... thinking you're such a spineless dick all these years.
That's so good. That'd be like if one of my family members was like, I just want to say I'm sorry for thinking you're just a libtard snowflake all these years. I'd be like, thank you?
I guess.
People still use libtard?
I do.
That's so politically not correct.
That's
because I'm a
word.
Snowflake that I think that.
Yeah. Well, how can you be a snowflake when there's global warming, Ben?
It can't be.
It can't be.
If I'm a snowflake, then there's no global
That's
warming.
That's all the proof I need.
That's it.
I have a sketch with Prom Losers where we do, the whole thing is like, people are like, oh, did you get a haircut? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, yeah, I thought so. And no one is ever like, nice haircut. And and the end of it, people are finally just like, yeah, fine. We like your haircut. And they're like, it's way better than it used to be. It's like, I just think it's so funny when people do that, when they like give you a compliment in the now, but it completely invalidates everything.
Yeah.
Or when people are like, you've lost a lot of weight, and you're like, I don't think I have. What is your image of me?
Unless like you've made a drastic weight shift,
right.
Don't ever say, hey, you look like you've lost
you've
a lot of weight.
Out? No, I haven't actually. I haven't at all. What did I look like before?
I had something like that happen one time when I went to the gym years ago. Right after Daisy was born, I had gone back to the gym finally, and I saw this actor dude I knew who's fucking jacked. Already I feel terrible about
Mark
myself
Wahlberg?
Around him. Mark Wahlberg.
Nice.
So I saw Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
And I'm like... oh yeah, I haven't gone to the gym in a while, and I'm worried about getting dad bod. And he's like, yeah, man, you look like you put on a few or something. And he's like, well, good thing you're here. And I'm like, what? No, you're not. Nope, you're not supposed to agree with that. Even if I do have dad bod. fuck you!
Yeah.
just cry and lift weights. Through the angry tears.
You too, bro.
Me too, bro.
That's.
I think I actually was just like, what? All right, bye. And I just put my headphones back in.
Or just let him know. Just so you know, I'm deleting you from my phone.
Just you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to be.
This is the end of our relationship.
You are the musclehead dick face. That's mm-hmm. what your name is now. Yeah. That makes no sense. I have the. Shit. Oh, yeah. Okay, so. Howie gets sucked up into the chimney because this awesome gingerbread cookie comes down on a hook, this giant hook. Mm-hmm. No one else wakes up but him.
Yeah.
And he takes a bite out of it and starts screaming, and it's awesome. And it wraps around him, pulls him up the chimney. Everybody starts trying to grab him, and it's like a chain of the family trying to hold him down. And he gets taken away. Like you said, nobody really chases too far after him. Mm-hmm. It's just like, oh, let's sit down and listen to Omi, the grandma, tell the story. And she tells this really fucked up story about her childhood when she stopped believing in Santa and in the holiday spirit. And her entire family was taken away and thrown and sucked into the underworld.
Yeah.
She was left behind with just an ornament. Like a fucked up version of Polar Express.
Yeah.
Where they get the bell that only he can hear. Uh-huh. It's like a bell that only she can remember is where her family was sucked down to hell.
Yeah.
So this movie subverts a lot of holiday themes that I really like. And she always speaks in German except her story, and Aunt Dorothy has a really funny exchange with her. Clip number 5.
Was kann niemand? Es ist...
What did she say? I'm not sure.
She says we're fucked.
How do you...
Because I'm old enough to know when life is coming at you with his pants down.
She's also old enough to know when Harvey Weinstein is coming at her with his pants down.
Yeah.
Hey!
Yep.
Let's see, former listener 702 gets mad about Harvey Weinstein comments.
Thank you.
Here's the thing. I don't think there's anybody who has an allegiance to Harvey Weinstein. Like, there may be people who still have political leanings.
Yeah.
But if there's anyone out there that's like...
Harvey Weinstein's misunderstood. that's an interesting hill to die on. Then
you're really barking up a fucking terrible tree right there.
Yeah.
You should never say that out loud. So I think I'm safe to make Harvey Weinstein jokes here. But the thing with Aunt Dorothy is I'd say 80% of her jokes I really like, and then there's a few that are a little too much.
Yeah.
But she never goes so far over the edge where I'm like, all right, just shut up, Aunt Dorothy.
Yeah.
And right when she's about to, she gets taken out by a team of dark elves led by... the Doctor Who dude from Thor the Dark World. He's not in this. I'm just combining movies for fun.
No spoiler.
No spoilers.
Should we give a no spoiler alert?
No spoiler alert, yeah. Guys. We're still in the no spoiler zone. This is a clip that reminds me of Gremlins when the toys are in the attic and they're mm-hmm. making all these noises. In fact, I wish I'd pulled a clip from Gremlins because it sounds identical. Clip number 6. It's so good.
A little chipmunk.
Can you put that as your ringtone anytime I text you? Would that
yes.
be cool?
Yeah.
Is that a good idea?
How'd
Hannah feel about that?
I like the fact that it's like 16 seconds long. So like every time you text,
it's
be
longer
like,
than
all right,
a phone call.
Wait, hold on. Shut up. It's almost done.
Can you imagine that just everywhere you are? Just the most annoying 16-second text message
yeah.
thing? Oh, sorry. He's texting me. He doesn't believe in a big... He likes to do... I hate when people send like one sentence at a time. It's like, just put it...
Put it in fucking, one.
I can read a paragraph.
One. Yeah.
It's fine. Just don't... Hey, what's up, man? I was thinking of going to the movies.
Yeah.
Maybe Justice League. Want to go?
Here are the times.
Fucking just... Really?
5:15, 8:15, 10:15, 11:15.
Renee's phone always goes off with her family text like 100 times, and I'm like, while we're watching TV, and I'm like, can you just mute it?
Yeah.
And she's like, it's not a big deal. I'm like, you're ruining my programs. That's my new thing. I like to call TV my programs.
Oh, are you officially a dad now?
I just think it's fun. Because when my mother-in-law stayed overnight one time to help out with Daisy for the morning when I had to go to work or something, I can't remember, but I was trying to watch Designated Survivor, and she came in, because it's one of my guilty pleasure shows, mm-hmm. she came in and started asking all these questions, like, is that his son? What's he doing? Why is this happening? And I was just like, I mean, there's like a season and a half I'd have to explain. And then later that night, I was like, your mom ruined my programs, honey. She ruined my programs. Specifically one program.
Yep.
I love when uh-huh. people sit down with you on a show that they've never seen and ask a shitload of questions. And you're just like,
Well, sitting down to watch anything and asking a shitload of questions.
Yeah.
It's like, how are you enjoying this experience? Yeah. I don't understand. If you like, write your questions down maybe, and we can discuss them afterwards.
Just keep notes.
Yeah.
I'll explain, or a commercial. There's no commercials. It's Hulu. Whatever. But you know, just every 15 minutes, I'll pause.
Make commercial. Pause it and do some reads.
Yeah.
And be like, Arby's, we've got the meats.
There we go.
What is your question?
What is your question?
Yeah.
Oh, we only have 8 minutes left.
Potential sponsor of the Guilty Movie Pleasures podcast, Arby's.
I ate 5 Arby's roast beef sandwiches several times back in the early 2000s because they were 5 for $5 and I had no regard for my health and well-being.
How about that?
Yeah.
That's fun story I've never heard.
So we got the creepy sound effects. I know we haven't done a lot of improv riffs on these, or true story riffs, I should say. Mm-hmm. But they're kind of so specific. And I want to talk about the ridiculous of this movie. The gingerbread cookie scene. Okay, what do you think of these two scenes where the toys and the cookies attack? Because I'm a big fan. I want to know where you fall on the spectrum of that.
Enjoyment. Which ones are you referring to? Like the big ones in the attic?
The attic one, and then the gingerbread cookie scene where they're on fire and running around and shooting them with a shotgun.
Oh, yeah. I really liked both of those.
I think they're solid set pieces.
Yeah, once the attacks themselves were really cool. It was just like, how the diversity of the attackers was like a little bit jarring and a little bit strange.
I love that. I love the surprise of all these weird new things coming up.
It just felt random. And maybe I just like wasn't totally locked into what was going on, but like it felt unfocused. I enjoyed the creativity and like what
and the actual, practical effects.
Yeah, yeah. And what was actually going on was cool. And like,
how cool is the weird snake? Because the Jack in the Box gets bigger as it eats.
Yeah.
And it has this creepy ass when its mouth opens. It's like this like four prong thing. It's so gross looking.
It's
shoving the kid in its mouth and you just see the feet going in. It's like I think it's in Dream Warriors where Freddy does that, where he's a giant snake thing.
It was very cool looking. But like, again, the what did you call the things that were in the snow?
Snow tremors?
Yeah, the snow tremors. Yeah. And then the Jack in the Box lived outside. And then there was just like, there was a lot of variety what was attacking them.
I love that.
And I guess the cohesion was toys, but like, it seemed, it felt too random to me.
I think it's just the cohesion is that the flipping every Christmas thing on its head.
Sure.
Is what
and
it
that,
is.
That could be, maybe I just like don't and have the library.
The creepy angel doll reminded me of like Bride of Chucky, kind of like my nightmare thing. This like weird ass doll that has these angel wings that just like claws at you, and the robot stabbing away at Adam Scott.
Yeah.
And then I forget the wife's name, Howard's wife. She just grabs
Allison Tolman.
Allison. I forgot her character, but Allison.
Too.
Yeah. She just starts blasting him with a shotgun. Mm-hmm. She stabs the bear in the eye with an icicle, which is awesome. And this green goo comes out. She blasts the bird back. You think they're all dead. And then they go down to the downstairs, and David Koechner has just fought the gingerbread cookies, and he lights them on fire.
I love the on-fire gingerbread cookies, yeah.
They're trying to put each other, trying to stop, drop, and roll. And the one, I put a GIF of this where it's jumping in slow motion, and you just blast it, and it's hilarious. And then they're regrouping afterwards.
And then isn't it the ant, like, is skeet shooting them? Like, as they're jumping, she's like, got the shotgun and is blowing them out of the air?
No, it's David Koechner does that in the kitchen.
I thought it was her.
She does that when the monsters come back, when the toys come back.
Yes.
She shoots them all.
Yeah, yeah.
Where she blasts the teddy bear against the wall and he smears.
Yes.
And she shoots the angel one into the wreath and it looks like a creepy wreath decoration.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome. It's a really fun sequence. But then David Koechner, they're all regrouping. And she's saying, his wife is saying, you wouldn't believe it. And he says, clip 7?
Linda, what are we dealing with? What'd you see up there?
You don't want to know, sweetheart.
Honey, I just got my ass kicked by a bunch of Christmas cookies, so trust me when I say I can take it.
See, it's funny. The first time I saw it, I thought the comedy petered off, but towards the second half. Mm-hmm. But watching it last night, I was still laughing all the way up until the end for me. And I grow to appreciate this movie more and more every time I see it. Just the little nods to things and kind of weird pagan imagery they put in there and things like that. But I loved this scene and I loved the aftermath of it where they just don't take it too seriously.
Yeah.
And like you would say that. You'd be like, I just fucking shot some gingerbread cookies
yeah.
with a shotgun.
Right.
Whatever you saw, Probably can't top that. It'd probably be on level.
Right. I mean, hopefully not. Hopefully it's better. Yeah. Hopefully things are looking up there.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. Hopefully.
So it's crazy because we actually have hidden footage of you're telling that story earlier about when you went to the gym and saw and you were like, I have a dad bod.
Yeah.
Right before that moment, you had been at home and you were upstairs in the upstairs bathroom looking in the mirror being like, I should go to the gym. And you came down and saw Renee and you had the following conversation.
Linda, what are we dealing with? What'd you see up there?
You don't want to know, sweetheart.
Honey, I just got my ass kicked by a bunch of Christmas cookies.
Yeah.
So trust me when I say I can you take it.
Here is the problem. I did literally just come from the gym. Yeah. And it's just maintaining right now. It's sure. It's not because the holidays, it's not so much that I gorge on things, but when sweets are around, somebody brought like just shitty holiday cookies over, mm-hmm. like kind of just like a big ass thing of them from Trader Joe's. And I've been blowing through those and they're not even that great, but they're sugar. And I'm like, all right.
I mean, it's in front of me. It's going to go bad. I don't want it to go bad.
I just don't want to waste.
I'm not a wasteful person.
I have this family recipe of, it's not every, a lot of people do it, but they're called bird's nests is what our family calls them. And I think they're also called haystacks, and they're chow mein noodles, which sounds weird, with melted butterscotch and semi-sweet chocolates, and then two M&Ms and peanuts in there as well. So it's like it looks like a bird's nest of chocolate with two M&Ms on top. Uh-huh. It's delicious. If anybody wants it, the recipe, tweet at me. I just basically told you. Spoilers! Okay, we are getting into spoiler territory, so if you didn't pay attention during the 3 minutes and you haven't seen this movie, I recommend stopping now.
Stop it right now.
Spoiler alert!
Yes, because we will spoiler get to it very alert. Soon, if not spoiler. Immediately, okay? Spoilers! Spoilers! All right, I like that. I like that better. So then you hear this weird sound from outside, and these elves crash through, and they got these creepy, like, Commedia dell'arte mm-hmm. elf masks on, and They're gathering up Aunt Dorothy and they take her away, and then David Koechner is like, I'm done with this, and he just full on commando style jumps on him and gets taken away. Can we play clip number 8? You can't hear it. He's saying Twisted Fairy Tale horse shit. And that's what I mean. We're in like hour 1 hour and 20 minutes into this movie, and there's still a fun line, like there's still jokes like that in it, which yeah. I love, but can we play it one more time? Because in the opening, that little zoom sound is Aunt Dorothy being ripped out the window. Ready?
Oh.
I love it. I love that sound effect so much. So Omi stays back to face Krampus, and the chimney breaks apart, and it's this epic scene where he comes down, and I think the reason Krampus is so upset is because he clearly has like a lockjaw issue.
Yeah.
Because his jaw is always open. He's just got this gaping mouth.
Yeah.
And this really long tongue.
It's tough to chew when you can't.
I think he's just really angry because he has to eat everything through a straw.
It's fully understandable.
So that's all. He's just mad because he has lockjaw the whole time.
Yeah. What he needs is that hour-long group hug.
That's what he needs.
So,
and then he'd be fine. He's got these awesome horns. The design of Krampus is really cool in this movie. Steve, do we have a couple more minutes or no? I do if it's... Okay, perfect. That's all I want. So... Omi stays to face Krampus. She gets presumably eaten by a bag full of bad toys. Uh-huh. And then, spoilers, they go off in the Humvee, and all the adults get picked off.
Yep.
One by one, and all that's left is the cousin and Max, and she gets taken away. And then what happens with Max?
So they give him the ornament mm-hmm. that the grandma was given, the same one. It says Krampus on it. And he's like, no. I will trade this. Take me. I just want my family back.
Because he goes to this weird place where in the woods, they're like, there's this fire pit of lava, and they're just throwing his family members in there.
Yeah.
And the elves, there's these creepy, like, half human, half horse, like, cloven weird animals.
Right.
Like reindeer, like demonic reindeer.
Yeah. And so.
Spoiler.
They take him. They throw him down into the lava pit.
Like a Christmas Carol style.
And then, boom, he wakes up, and we think, this was just a bad dream, right? So we go down into the living room. We're having Christmas. Everyone's there. Everyone's happy. We think, oh, his wish came true. The family's just happy together again. They give him his gift. He opens it up. It's the Krampus ornament. We zoom out. They're in a snow globe.
And everybody reacts like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
They all remember the same dream.
Yep. And it turns out they're in a snow globe in Krampus's pit of fire.
Yeah, yeah. And here's the thing. I listened to the commentary because when I first watched it, I was like, oh, they just all had this same dream or this same experience, and their lives reset, and they're just being watched over by Krampus again. And then last night I was like, oh no, they're trapped in Krampus's cellar and trapped in this perpetual Christmas. And then when I watched the commentary, they're like, we wanted it to be ambiguous, where it's either you can think in his workshop he's just perpetually these are the families that he's visited and he's watching to make sure they don't lose their spirit again because he'll go after them.
Right.
Or if you want to be cynical, he said the cynics will think, no, they're trapped in like a Groundhog's Day version of Christmas where they just have to keep reliving this nightmare over and over again. And I love that it's ambiguous because then when I want to feel good about it, I can be like, oh, they're fine now. And when I want to be like, no, they're fucked.
So
you get both.
Not to bring it all the way back, but there's one version with cancer and one version without.
We don't need that cancer shit. That's all the time we have for today, folks. I hope if you have seen Krampus and you have friends that haven't and you're a big fan, tell them. And also tell us what you thought of it. Is it one of your favorite new holiday classics? Had you heard of it before? I'm a huge fan of Michael Dougherty. I just want him to take every holiday and do a weird, twisted movie on it. If you haven't seen Trick or Treat, next Halloween, watch it because it's awesome. Anyways, until next time, where can they find you, Jesse?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram, at TooMuchJesse, and for sketch, at TheProbLosers.
Awesome. You can find me at TheBenBegley on Twitter and Instagram, and at ParentsVersusBaby. We're going to start rolling out some parenting sketches, my wife and I, very soon. So follow us on Twitter. I think we have 12 followers, for real. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, what is your guilty movie pleasure?
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.